Over the past several weeks, we have been studying various means of spiritual growth, and last week we talked a little bit about Sabbath keeping, and I took my Monday Sabbath, as I usually do, and I realized how bad of a Jew that I would be, because we had talked a little bit about how Jewish, well, at least Orthodox or conservative Jewish people can't drive cars, and I drove a car, and you can't cook, and I cooked, and I think I might have even done some laundry, so I would just not make a good Jewish person. But nonetheless, it was a relaxing day, and that was that's what the Lord would want from us in taking a time off for Him. And we've talked a little bit about prayer, and I think most of us know many of these spiritual disciplines, and hopefully we can be encouraged to continue to grow in them. We talked about fasting, and I know the youth through their IJM did at least a partial fast. I saw Andrew had some rupees or something, I think, to buy food, so I hope some of you got a chance to eat. But nonetheless, fasting is a way that we can draw closer to God, and we did, like I said, talk about Sabbath keeping, and today we're going to talk about a discipline that is a little bit different, that we wouldn't necessarily think of as spiritual discipline. We usually think of those things that are more internal in our lives, maybe, or have to do with our relationship with God, such as, you know, prayer or spending time in the Word or solitude or fasting and the things like that. But actually, one of the spiritual disciplines is a discipline of service. And a discipline of service would be more of what would be considered an outward discipline. It's something that's not something that we do so much just between ourselves and God, but it's a discipline that we indeed help others as we seek the Lord. And so it's actually a little bit different of a discipline, but it actually serves a purpose in helping us to grow in the Lord. And our passage today that we see the importance of being a servant is from Mark 10, 42-45. Can we read that together? Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And as we just begin to look at this passage, we really see the contrast that was true at that time, where authority was really from top down, and so the rulers in Rome and the rulers of the synagogue would exercise their authority, and they may not have done it in necessarily always the most gracious way, but the goal, especially if you were a leader or wanted some power, was that you would gain some authority and then you could exercise that authority to others. And Jesus said, no, this is actually totally opposite, and it's what some theologians have coined the upside down kingdom. And the upside down kingdom is basically everything is upside down from the way that we would expect from the world. And so in the world you would expect a strong authoritarian leader that can lead his people, but Jesus is saying that those who want to be great among you must be your servant, and those who are first must be last. And so when we think of being a servant or a slave, we don't really think necessarily of leadership. But indeed, that's what Jesus has called to, and He calls us to a life of service. He calls us to lead humbly the path of servant leadership. And so this is something that was coined, I think, actually in the early 1970s, this whole concept of servant leadership, and that to do so, we need to be a servant leader, we need to do so in a humble fashion. And I like this quote by John Maxwell, one of the leadership gurus, not only of Christians, he is a Christian, but I think even in management practices and courses, and he said, "True leadership must be for the benefit of the followers, not to enrich the leader." And I think this really kind of summarizes what Jesus was trying to say, that if someone is a leader, they're not trying to benefit themselves and to be great for themselves, but it's actually the leader is there to serve the followers and to help the followers to grow and to develop and to make progress as a team or as a church or in any respect. Now, we see here also, Jesus goes on and says that for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And we see this is the attitude that Jesus had in his life, was to be a servant, not to necessarily be one who was served, though he certainly was worthy as the Son of Man to be served. And we're called indeed to serve like Jesus, and to not come to, as Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. We're called likewise to live a life like Jesus in a lifestyle of servanthood. And of course, we know all the famous passage about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And on the eve of Passover, he gathered the disciples together, and he said that he knew where he had come from, he knew where he was going. He took a towel around him and he began to wash his disciples' feet. And that is actually shocking for any leader, because only in that context of time, only the servants or maybe the slaves would be those that would wash the disciples' feet, or wash anyone's feet for that matter. So if you went to the home of some wealthy Roman dignitary, they may have servants or slaves that you would sit down and they would wash your feet. And Jesus is actually taking this posture of basically a slave. And so he then says that as I do to you, you need to do to each other, to take this posture, this attitude of a servant. I was reminded of a time in my life when I went camping. These are a bunch of old guys. I was young at the time, but I guess these could be my friends now. But we went camping. I was on a navigator training program in upstate Wisconsin. Actually, in New York, they call the upper part of the state, when you go camping, they call it upstate. In Wisconsin, we call it up north. But I was up north, and we were at this training program, and we were camping one weekend. And unbeknownst to me, my nav leader, my small group leader, had set a test out for us. And he wanted to see how good of servants that we were. And I guess he had his little notebook there. I didn't see a notebook, but maybe he just kept it in his mind. And as we prepared the food, and as we cooked the food, and as we cleaned up, he kind of made a mental note of what we were doing. And then afterwards, you know, we were all sitting around the campfire, and then he began to chastise us about how bad of servants that we were. And I was like, no, I was a good servant. I did this, I did that. But actually, when I kind of look back on it, it was kind of a shocking experience, because I didn't know I was being tested. But nonetheless, I did really come to realize that I didn't have really the mindset of a servant. And I guess, you know, this little test that he put us through was probably a good idea in some ways, because even now, many, many years later, I remember it. And it really did help me to realize that I needed to, in a sense, you know, put my towel on and take it and keep my eye out for the needs of others, and to seek to meet those needs, much like Jesus would do, and so to take the attitude of a servant. And so I think after that, on the next few weeks of our trip, I think all of us were probably the best servants that we ever were, because we had this in our mind, and I don't think we wanted to let down our leader as well. There's probably some mixed motives there, but nonetheless, it was a lesson well learned, and it's a lesson I think we can all learn to really serve with intentionality in no matter what we're doing. We're also called in servants, in being a servant, and to in seeking to exercise the servanthood in our life, the gift in some senses, is to serve according to your gifts. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we are to serve according to the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given us. And in Romans 12, it says we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so we're called to exercise the gifts that God has given to us, and God has given each of us spiritual gifts. And I know the youth group has recently taken a spiritual gift inventory, and something like that I think is a good tool to help us begin to think about what our gifts may be. And also as we serve, I believe the body of Christ, the community of believers, will help confirm many of our gifts. But we're to do it then in accordance with our faith, and we're to do it in a joyful manner. And I like how it says if you have a gift of mercy, do it cheerfully. And so if we have a gift of serving, we should do it cheerfully. If we have a gift of serving, if we have an exhortation, a gift of exhortation through music, we should do that joyfully. And so we're called to serve in a whole variety of gifts that we have, and we are called to do that also intentionally. And so I like this phrase that I saw online, and it's gifted to serve. We have all been given various gifts, but they're not necessarily for our own benefit or to make us a leader in the church or highly esteemed in other people's eyes, but those gifts that God gives us are actually for the purpose of serving others. We're also called in service to serve the less fortunate. And I think oftentimes when you think about the gift of service or actually the spiritual discipline of service, this is probably the thing that I would think about the most, serving the less fortunate. And we think about giving someone who is thirsty a cup of cold water, someone who is hungry some food, someone who is in financial need to maybe meet their needs. And so we're called to help meet the needs of others and to serve the less fortunate. And I really like this verse in Acts 9:36. Can we read this together? In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Now, Joppa is, I believe, the modern-day Tel Aviv, and Tel Aviv is kind of parallel to Jerusalem, maybe a little bit north, and it's on the Mediterranean Sea, and so it's a sea town. And so there we find this disciple named Tabitha, or Dorcas, however you would pronounce it, depending on the language you're speaking. And I like how it says she's always doing good, helping the poor. And I really like this because it brings the helping of others to a very individual level. I think we often think about organizations like Samaritan's Purse or World Vision or whatever, many different organizations that are out there doing mission work, helping the poor, meeting needs. But nonetheless, we're called as a church body to help meet needs, but also on an individual level to help those that are less fortunate. Now, we may not know that many people that are maybe poor or less fortunate, but of course there are those in our community, and there's ministries going on that we can partner with or that we can seek to meet the needs as a church body. But also we probably know those that are in need in other ways. We may have friends, we may have classmates, we may have coworkers that really have needs in a whole variety of areas, and we're called to do good and to help those that are in need. Maybe they're poor in spirit, maybe they're poor financially, I don't know, in a whole lot of different realms. But nonetheless, this really is a testimony to Tabitha that she took this to heart and sought to meet the needs of the less fortunate. And I do applaud the youth group and Dan's leadership this past weekend and actually this past month in promoting the ministry of IJM and for all the fundraising that has been done. I've heard it was over $4,000 raised, which is just really incredible, and selling those dolls and the like, which really helps the women who are making them to be able to make a living. It's these type of ministries that we can be involved with that can really make a difference in the lives of others, and we may just do our little part, but nonetheless, if everyone does their little part, a great difference can be made in ministry in our community and in our world. We're also called to serve, and when we do serve and exercise a discipline of servanthood, to serve with a proper attitude. And I think this is really important. And I thought of this particular time in ministry when I was in Queens, my first church, and I felt like this dog. I was tired, just tired. I had a very busy weekend of ministry. We had a Filipino ministry in our church, and I was actually roommates with the Filipino pastor, pastor in our church, and they were having a really big event, and I think it was actually on a Sunday evening. Maybe a little odd time to have it, but they had a big banquet, and he had asked me to help out. But that weekend, I think we had just a lot going on with the youth group, and we may have had some outing that Saturday. And by the time I reached like 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, I was just wiped out. I was barely able to keep awake as I was driving around, and I had to pick up some people for this event, and I had to help serve. And I just remember that I was so tired, and I really didn't have the best of attitudes. And I was like, God, why did I get myself into this? I just should have said no. But nonetheless, I was convicted of my attitude, and I think I may have actually just pulled over on the road at some point, and I took a 15-minute nap. And I think that actually helped a lot, that and some Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And by, you know, 6 o'clock time, I was kind of ready to go. But it was convicting because I did want to really serve and help with this ministry, but nonetheless I knew that my spirit just wasn't really right within me. And I think that can often be the case, that we want to serve, but we may do with mixed motives or with a bad attitude. But we're called to have a good attitude when we serve the Lord. And there's several different principles that I had found through a class online from Central Baptist Church, and I'm just going to go through a few of them. They have actually more, but it contrasts how we serve, and we can serve in either a self-righteous manner or we can serve in a true manner. So they have these different categories broken down into self-righteous service or true service. And in terms of recognition, the recognition that we may get in serving others, self-righteous service would be done so that others will know it. And maybe we even have some false modesty about it, like, oh yeah, you know, I it was nothing. But nonetheless, the reason that they were doing it was in order to point to themselves. But true service is satisfied with simply pleasing God. He notices what is done in secret. Now, oftentimes when we serve, we're not doing it in secret, but there's actually a subcategory of service which is called secrecy. And so this is when you might go and do something that no one else knows of in order to serve the Lord. And I've heard of some pastors that actually do this, because pastoring obviously is a very public ministry. And so I've had pastor friends that have told me, well, they'll kind of slip out and get involved and do some visitation in a hospital. In a hospital nowhere near their church, so no one really knows them. So they're doing it in a sense that they are doing it something publicly to people, but they're doing it in a secret manner so that no one really knows what they're doing. And so we can do service in a secret manner, but most of the time we're serving others, and so it's a little more public. So we're called to top secret serving. This looks like some kind of agent thing, you know, like James Bond or something like that. But nonetheless, we're called to serve, and we're called to serve in a manner that's pleasing the Lord, not to bring honor and glory unto ourselves. In terms of rewards, self-righteous service is, if I scratch his back, he'll scratch mine. So you only try to serve people who can help you in some way. A true service is serving just for the sake of serving. No payback is needed. And so we serve maybe people that we know that in no way can ever serve us. We may even serve people that we may feel are taking advantage of us, but nonetheless we do so with joy in our heart. And so in a sense, our service then is a gift that we give to someone else in the manner that we serve. And so it's not something that we're seeking to be rewarded by or to gain from, but truly a gift of us to one another. Okay, and I think we're stuck here. Okay. Recipients. Self-righteous service seeks to serve the powerful to gain an advantage. True service seeks to serve anybody regardless of their circumstances. And I think even in the Corinthian church we saw that as a problem, where there was a lot of service and a lot of lifting up and honoring those who were more wealthy, who had power, but nonetheless we're called to serve anybody even if they're in low circumstances. And I think probably the the person who most exemplifies this would be Mother Teresa, who went, of course, to India and served the poorest of the poor, the untouchables, and she did it all for the glory of God and to show Christ to these that were the downcast of society. And, of course, most of us will never be quite like Mother Teresa, but nonetheless, we're called to serve everybody, not just those who we're comfortable with. Feelings. Well, self-righteous service is serving because you feel like it. It's according to your agenda, according to your time, your schedule, but true service is serving because there's a need and seeking to meet any of those needs that we may see around us, keeping our eyes open, actually, for the needs around us. And I think this is a picture of a missions trip in Kenya. It's a church that went to Kenya and did a building project. And I know the youth group and many churches will do these service projects where they're not necessarily out there sharing the gospel, but they're going to places and helping to build and to come alongside the church and to maybe provide some resources and some muscle and some skills in order to do what the church there can't do and to really help make a difference in their community. And so building this church in Kenya, I'm sure, really made a difference in their community because now there would be a place for the brothers and sisters to worship. And so we're called indeed to serve all sorts of people. And as we conclude, I think we're called to acts of service. We're called to serve like Jesus. We're called to put a towel on us and to seek to meet the needs of others and to take initiative in meeting the needs of others. But also, I think we can hopefully be intentional in practicing servanthood as a spiritual gift and maybe being involved in some different projects or maybe intentionally helping those who may be in more need. And we can maybe be in prayer even that God would reveal to us some needs that we can meet, maybe as individuals or even as a church, as we seek to make a difference in our community, as we serve, as we seek to serve like Jesus, as we seek to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your love for us, for your goodness in our lives, and Father, we thank you that that serving you, serving others, is a means that we can grow spiritually. It's a means that we can, in a sense, take our eyes off ourselves and our own needs and our own problems, and we can begin to meet the needs of others, and we can begin to have more of an outward focus. And through that, Lord, you can begin to work in our lives as we see how you're working in the lives of others as we serve and meet their needs. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us, for the talents that you've given us, the strength that you've given us, Lord, in order to serve you. And we ask, Lord, that indeed we can serve in a manner that Jesus serves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.